Howdy ho, everybody. That familiar tune just means it's time for another show. And what a show it is for you today on the Center Ring, TCR for short, also known as your favorite esports podcast. Episode 24 is coming at you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location known to few. I'll be one of your hosts for this evening. My name is Tim. The other host is named Brandon. He's sitting across the table from me. How are you doing, sir?
What's going on? 24 episodes. I just told you this a second ago. That's 6 months worth of...
6 months.
Worth of episodes.
6 months. Half a year we've been doing this. And we have made $0. Pretty good so far. Pretty good. It's the consistency that I'm looking for. We've consistently made zero from this. And consistently got like a listener an episode. So
we're trending the right direction.
Quite strong being consistent. But I'll tell you what is consistent. That every episode might be the best episode yet. And this one is no different. Because this is going to be the best episode ever. I hope you like Counter-Strike Go, because this is going to be the episode for you, considering we are almost at 2 weeks from the next major, the first major of 2016, the first major of NA, the first major of $1 million, MLG's first major. It's a lot of firsts, and we're going to discuss all of that. Of course, we will have the micro. That's going to have a lot of stories in it this week. Other than that, you know,
it's a big, the major is such a huge deal.
Especially
for NA, and we're going to be there.
It's going to be awesome. Maybe meet some people, maybe not meet some people. We'll see. But we're here to do the show after a week off. Cause you know, a lot happens in a week. You know, we have what? It's allergy season. Fiance's birthday. Daredevil season 2 started. So we had to take a week off and discuss off-mic show things. And now it's time for on-mic show things. So let's get right into the MLG CSGO Major that will be held in Columbus, Ohio. Which I knew in the Vegas pool, Columbus, Ohio was clearly the first pick for probably the most important major to date. I think everyone had Columbus, Ohio. The city to be.
If MLG is going to host it, you would assume it's in Columbus because they have their arena thing there. But what ended up happening, everybody was so ticked off that they were only going to show, you know, this, I think it was like the semifinals on. They ended up moving more matches to the nationwide arena anyway.
MLG has really done a lot, though, for this tournament to please people. MLG, yeah. Adam, I see him on Reddit all the time. And he's basically like, if you have a question, he'll answer it. He's on Twitter. I see them answering everything on Twitter. And it's like, they're actually geniuses, because what they're doing is like, for every tournament in between, like, I'd say a month ago to now, and not just CSGO, but like any esport tournament in the last month, anything that they've been doing to screw up, MLG is like, let's do the opposite. let's not do that.
Yeah, the start times come to mind. They moved games from Friday to Saturday so that teams weren't going to be playing for so long on a single day. And that was directly
from Shanghai.
Yeah, because
Katowice. I mean, both of those tournaments were going hand in hand, and players were playing until, not exaggerating, 4 o'clock in the morning local time.
Yeah.
Like,
and then getting up again for 10 a.m. the next day to play more.
Continue to play another, you know, 10-hour day, which is really ridiculous. At any level, people are like, professionals shouldn't... Nobody should be doing that.
No organization should be okay with your guys
4 hours of delay.
Yeah, well, and your guys working... I mean, technically being on the clock for like 16 hours.
Right, so,
and never mind the cashers and all that. MLG is doing their best to make everyone happy, and I think it's because they're like, We would like to probably do a couple more of these in the future.
And another result was just recently they announced that re-entry. You can leave the stadium, get a wristband, and come back in as long as you have your ticket. It's not a huge deal. And if you don't have your ticket, call up Ticketmaster and
get one.
You'll
printed,
get another one for probably like an arm and a leg. They'll print you off another ticket.
Yeah.
So
that's huge.
You can have re-entry, which is huge for a downtown stadium, especially when it is all day. For the most part, it's an all-day deal. And to sit in a stadium, I was kind of worried about it, to be honest.
I told you when I found out and I sent you the email about it, I was most excited by the fact that I can eat not shitty concession stand food.
As someone who is trying to lose weight for a wedding coming up in November, I was really worried my diet was going to consist of stadium like nachos and hot dogs for like 4 days straight. That's all I was going to have. And I was really worried. And now that I know that we can at least leave and pick up, I don't know, whatever Columbus has in the area. I'm sure any other downtown restaurant.
Subway or something, I'm
some
sure.
Jimmy John's or something in there. We can at least mix it up, leave, stretch our legs. We're
even
not confined
if
to that arena.
If you need a nap, yeah, we're right down the street. So
that's know, we got the hotel down the block.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Big ballers, you
no
know.
No big deal. So that shouldn't, that I like the fact that they added re-entry for all 3 days. Not to mention, they added, so at majors, you get like, you can always go and buy these pins, and it's just another, it's a stupid collectible item that we get crazy about, and then it sits in a drawer.
But you get a physical pin and
a digital code,
pin.
So you can show it off, and they sell for ridiculous amounts on eBay, and the reason they're so popular now, I think, is because before, majors, I mean, they've only been in Europe.
Yeah.
So
very hard to get.
If you live over here, chances are you didn't get one. And
now
they're doing it to where everybody who at least has it's one pin per ticket for free. And then on Sunday, I think they said they're opening it up for like two or three per.
I had a guy message me on Reddit and ask if I could buy him 10 pins and bring them back to Dallas.
Well,
and I was
they
like,
they shut that one down real quick because like, you can't do that.
I was like, yeah, no, I'm not. And he's like, I'll pay you back. I'm like, no, I'm not dropping $200 on pins.
Hey,
you can
random
pay me
person
back.
I've never met. Trust me, I'm good on it.
Right. I'll pay you back.
The good news is if he never paid you back, you could turn around and sell $200 worth of pins for quite a bit on eBay. I've looked, I've thought about it. I can't justify spending $90 on a. On a tiny ass
sound
pin
investment
that does nothing for me. But that's just, like I said, that's just the surface of, I guess, the PR, the community relationship for MLG. I don't know. It's weird for me that, I mean, we went to MLG when we were 15 on to 18 years old competing in MLG. And to be going back, to be flying to Columbus to go see another one after years of not going to an MLG event just because they kind of stopped showing.
Actually,
know,
I actually got a little bit of nostalgia when I was like, hey, I forwarded you an email on some event information for MLG. And I was like, oh, man, going back to an MLG.
Seeing the logo and everything, it does bring back some warm, fuzzy feelings. Yeah. I'm definitely going to come back in a hoodie, a hat. I'll be decked out.
I think I rocked that MLG hoodie for years after we got that.
I can honestly not wait to go next Thursday. Before the sun is up, we will be on our way to Columbus.
Yep.
But enough of that, because we're going to discuss that a whole lot more after the event. Hopefully we can get interviews at the event. We're going to try pulling some strings for media presence. Maybe. I don't know if we can qualify for media passes yet. I don't know. We have a YouTube.
Shit, we've done more interviews than some of the people I've seen that have them. So,
guys, we have a YouTube. We're so legit.
Legit.
We're so legit. We pay for our own.
We have a
website.
YouTube and a logo.
I mean, come on. What more do you want from us? But getting on to the talent, all the groups are announced. 4 groups, 16 teams going into the major. How do you want to do this? You want to start with just go down the traditional group A through D.
Let's
name our thoughts, fears, hopes, dreams.
let's just break it down by start at group A and just kind of,
all right.
Yeah, we'll start from the top and work our way down. It's a big task to get through all four of these.
So group A is made up of Ninjas in Pajamas, Luminosity, Mouse Sports, and Flipside Tactics. Overall, I think if you're looking at the strength of the group, I think this is, to me, if you're just looking at raw talent, the strongest group in the tournament.
Really?
I do. If you're looking at the teams, to me, this group, I think, has the better talent. Reason being, though, is because for whatever reason, I think Mouse Sports is a better team than what people and their record give them credit for.
I think Nico is a better team than Mouse Sports. Nico is that team.
True.
But yeah.
But nonetheless, I think Mouse Sports is a better team. I mean, just in March alone, they have a 12-12 record. So even that, like, I have nothing to prove to you that what I'm saying is correct in any way.
They've lost the last four in a row too.
Right. Yeah. I did my research before because I tell all my friends, like, dude, Mouse Sports, that's going to be the upset of the tournament. And then I go on Gosu Gamer and I'm like, what am I thinking? Like, what am I saying right now?
That's okay. So,
but I do. I think Mouse Sports is kind of my dark horse of the tournament.
That's what I listed as my group A upset was Mouse Sports overtaking Ninjas in Pajamas to advance into bracket play.
I had a bigger upset, and that was them taking out Luminosity.
Oh my. Wow.
So this is it. Luminosity recently was number two in the world. I don't know where they're at recently. I haven't looked. But roughly, it's Luminosity is number two. You could maybe make an argument for Na'Vi and them to switch off. The issue is, Luminosity, they show more signs of potential slip-ups to me. I mean, just recently, in the iBuy Power Invitational, Luminosity got fifth place. And that was in a tournament with teams like Splice, Selfless, you had Cloud9, Liquid. It was like an NA tournament, and they were the number one seed going in, which by all means, if you look at the paper, they should have walked away with that 10,000, but they didn't even place. They got fifth.
So
they were eliminated by Selfless. So that
a couple weird dynamics with Luminosity is one. It was did that tournament have Tempo Storm in it?
Yeah.
It did. Tempo Storm was there. There was an interview, I believe it was with Guardian, who talked about every time they play Luminosity, Luminosity seems to do something a little differently. Like they're constantly changing. I'm not trying to say that this one bad tournament just nothing worked out. There's a possibility.
It could have been that maybe they were, because I even texted you and I was like, hey, I watched the tournament, but can you double check to see if Luminosity had their regular roster?
Yeah.
Like, was there a sub that I just didn't notice?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, they were legit the whole way through.
Taco got absolutely wrecked by Selfless.
So the only thing I could think of is maybe they were trying different strategies because they knew that this didn't really matter. This is not where we're going to bust out new strats. iBuy Power Invitational is not going to be where we break out the triple stack, you know, on Overpass. So sick. That's not where we're going to reveal it. We're going to hold on to the major and we'll try new strategies now. Maybe, you know, put people where they don't belong and see what fits. Because to lose in a tournament like that is unreal. But again, that's what piques my interest in the sense of, okay, so if Selfless can do it, surely, if Mouse Sports gets ahead and everything, they can do it.
I just can't see Luminosity dropping, especially dropping in groups at something so big, because they do seem to step up whenever they kind of need to.
Well, and I agree. And look, they were second place for the Katowice. They were second place at DreamHack Leipzig. And they got third place at the Star Ladder I-League Star Series. So, no, yeah, they've had a really good 2016. It just seems like them and Tempo Storm, I'll lump them in as like the Brazilians. I'll give them their due now. They're not NA
Dream.
They're done.
It's done. No more NA.
They're not NA. And it, are I they really too do, good? Yeah, like I feel bad that we lump them with NA. So
don't want to put that on them.
The
Got
Brazilians,
it.
Even Tempo Storm, like, so they did really well at Katowice, wasn't it? And then
yeah, they didn't. They advanced really. They advanced well in Katowice. They didn't really accomplish a whole lot as far as a bracket play.
No, but expectations, yeah. They played really well. And then, like, the next little tournament they played, they did not. So it's one of those, I guess it's a consistency thing, but I want to say with Luminosity, it was more so they were trying new things. Anyways, Mouse Sports is my sleeper pick. Obviously, I think Luminosity and Ninjas will come out on top. But I want to say, I told you so, if Mouse Sports do it. Flip side, sorry.
They've, just for them to get as far as they have, has been really impressive.
Well, and I
think they're really, they're over their heads at this point, as far as competition goes.
And I know Flip side is the ones with more, if you look at just roster, they have quote unquote veteran experience. If you think that carries any sort of weight into this type of tournament, I personally don't. Like, yeah, I think veteran experience helps, but at the end of the day, it's what team's better. At this point, all of these teams kind of have that veteran experience, the major.
I don't really feel like that even comes close to applying in Counter-Strike, because these people play so many games and so many tournaments. I mean, you get the kind of oddball situations like the two Spanish teams in Spain at the ESL that had never played LAN before, but they were two invited teams that got invited because they were from the region. You're not talking about a team that qualified for anything or anything like that. These teams have played enough games. Like, you can have veterans. You can have 1.6 veterans. I think every single one of these teams does or has had somebody that played high level 1.6, it's not going to change the fact that you're outclassed by, you know, Luminosity, Nip, and Nico of Mouse Sports. I still don't know if I'd lump the whole team together, but...
But I completely agree with you. But we're in agreement. Nip and Luminosity.
Yeah, Group 8 is Nip and Luminosity, with my upset being Mouse Sports over Nip.
Okay. Either way, Mouse Sports would be the upset.
Yeah.
Moving on. Group B...
This is the easiest group to predict, or at least the first place team.
So you have FaZe, who by far, if there was a competition for most amazing jerseys, they would get it hands down.
if Counter-Strike was a beauty contest,
if only. FaZe, Fnatic, Splice, and Team Liquid. So two NA teams in that one, Splice and Liquid. Now, when this one was first announced, like, everybody was like, lols, sorry, Splice. And, like, and you even said it. You're like, man, that sucks for Splice. And I felt like I was the first one to be like, what about Liquid? Or, anybody in that group with Fnatic.
Fnatic is just going to, I mean, FaZe has done not good so far through this season of ESL Pro League. They're currently sitting in 11th place.
FaZe has not done that well regardless.
Period. Yeah. So
all year, they haven't placed higher than fifth in a tournament.
So they've trended down since the year started, which was surprising because I think about the team, especially what FaZe did in
G2.
The actual FaZe team, like organization was able to do in their other games. And I kind of, it has a little bit of clout, but.
Well, and you felt like when they were under G2's banner...
They were doing well. I mean, they lost...
We even said they were like in an upswing, I felt.
Yeah. But ever since then, they've just been absolute hot mess, just garbage.
So and who do you have coming out second then? Because Fnatic is obviously going to come out first. Put your Liquid shirt away.
Shout out to my boy GB James. Team Liquid is going to be the second group to get through.
Okay.
I honestly can't say
out of which one's going to come out.
Even in my notes, I have Liquid parentheses Homer pick.
So, Liquid, they placed second at Die by Power. They lost to Cloud9, but you can't, it's, so Liquid's a hard one, A, because again, remember, they're not playing with their,
they're playing with a Dren again.
They're playing with a Dren. They're not playing with, that's who they qualified for. With,
but the, in the qualifier, they played really well with,
well,
a Dren.
Well, no, they did, and you have, remember, they had that inspiring awe moment where, you know, GB James took him aside and was like, just have fun. Like, why do you play this game?
Yeah.
It's to have fun. Go have fun. And they had that miracle turnaround to get him in the tournament. I would love nothing more to see Team Liquid take this Adren swan song all the way to the finals and win for two reasons.
Oh.
I think it would be amazing to see NA win on NA soil.
Right. Like,
that would blow up the scene to no end.
Yeah.
And B, I really want to be a fly on the wall with the awkward conversation of like, so we just won with Adren.
But he's not on the team anymore.
So what do we do? I don't know. I would just like the awkwardness. I'm a fan of awkwardness.
And it makes it so hard to kind of predict. And that's why I picked them as a homer pick. I do think Splice has a chance. Like, I think that after the two teams weren't able to come to that major qualifier, which ended up with Splice getting invited, and then they won their way through to go to the major.
I mean, remember, they placed third in that qualifier, and they made it over Mouse Sports and G2.
And they've done well in their pro league season games.
They're
tied right now with Team Liquid in the pro league. Now, granted, that's hard to look at because Liquid is playing with a different fifth than they will be in the major. But you have to wonder.
And a big fifth when Adren is supposed to, you know, if he was doing
IGL stuff.
Yeah, if they operate him as IGL, that's a major difference.
So the things you have to consider is like, A, you know, does Team Liquid just run old defaults? Because if they've been playing with Kusta, and then you try to drop Adren back in there, and he was always their main offer. You don't know if that's going to work, like mesh again. Like, they're going to have to figure each other out all
over
again.
Maybe that will work for their advantage because people are watching film on them, and they have Kusta there and not Adren calling the shots. And maybe in a weird turn of events, this will work out in their favor. And this is why I said it's difficult for me to pick a two. Because you look at, if you're just judging off of what team's better, I do think Liquid is better than FaZe at the moment. And they're obviously better than Splice. It's the confidence level that one of these teams won't upset the other team. Like, if Splice just wins once and let the other people just duke it out, they might be able to squeak by and get out of group. Because two groups go, or two teams per group. So,
and so I had Splice picked as an upset, as kind of like the dark horse for the group. But
honestly,
it's hard to say. It's like Liquid, or I think Liquid or Splice are going to take the second place. I don't think FaZe has neither the confidence nor the just current skill level to compete. I mean, they're 5-12 in their last 2 months. The only team, I mean, Splice is 6-1-12. So, I mean, Splice is just barely better than FaZe. But if you're hanging out in that tier of team, I know they're in a major, but I mean, it's very arguable that Splice lucked into that a little bit with their invite. But they're the only ones that aren't positive, you know?
And just imagine Fnatic, a team where, looking over, I took their March. They're 15-4 in March, and the last time they placed anything other than first place was November of last year in the ESL ESEA Pro League Season 2 finals. And I think they placed second there. So, I mean, for me, Fnatic is the group.
Yeah, it's battle for second,
And that's the scary part, because Fnatic could honestly not care one game
But I still think Fanatics not caring is better than the rest of that group.
This is true. So up in the air. I honestly can't tell you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say Liquid because I'm a homer and I would love to see the Adren Swan Song go on for as long as it can.
Yep.
Moving on. This is a difficult group, but for all the other reasons. Group C, you have Na'Vi, Virtus Pro, G2, former Titan, and Cloud9.
That's group D.
No, it's group C. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever group they're in, I have them as group C.
Oh, I have the screenshot. It says group D. All
right, well.
Whatever, you
that
know.
Group, the group with Na'Vi.
Gotcha.
Virtus Pro, G2, and Cloud9. So that's a tougher group for me, mainly because Na'Vi is going to win it.
Yeah.
No doubt. And the other three teams could just potentially be so bad, all three might just find a way to go home.
What's your opinion on VP? So I have it in my head. If I look like face value, just looking at it,
In my CSGO Pick'em sticker challenge,
yeah,
I picked them just because it's a major and it's like they haven't been good since the last one. So maybe it's like, just a major they need to get under their belt.
As I look at it at face value, I'm like, Virtus Pro has been awful all year.
They have to turn around
like,
sometimes.
I was like, they're so bad. There's no way that they're going to do anything. But then I'm like, this is Virtus Pro. Like, this is a team that out of nowhere just decides to stomp on the best teams in the world and then finish second place. Like, that's what they like to do.
And then at the same time, as quickly as they came, they go just as fast.
Yeah.
And they stay there a little bit longer than at the top. So that's why I said all three. And G2, I mean, what has G2 done lately to make you think, you know what, that's a team I'm willing to put skins on?
I mean, G2 has done well record-wise. And they're 22-13 over the last 2 months in all their matches. They're currently sitting third in the ESL Pro League. So they're showing some. They're actually ranked over Fnatic right now in the ESL Pro League standings. But it's G2, and I've been burned by that hype train already once. When they picked up Scream and I got on the fourth seed in the Titan or the Titan hype train, I got burned.
And I have no optimism when it comes to them. So I'm going to go the obvious route and be a homer and pick Cloud9. Because when in doubt, you be a homer.
I had Na'Vi and then G2 getting out of groups with my very likely upset of Cloud9 over G2.
I own too much Cloud9 clothing products to not vote for them. So I'm going to vote for them. I am Polish, so a little bit of me wants to see Virtus Pro. So I will say Na'Vi's taking the group. Obviously, G2, no. Cloud9 will take second with Virtus Pro being the upset.
Gotcha.
But Cloud9, as far as the Stewie 2K experiment is going, how is that going?
Apparently it's going well. I mean, did you not see Nothing's tweets?
No, I did not. What did he say? They did win the iBuyPower Invitational.
Which
they did last year. Like, that's their tournament for whatever reason.
The subreddit blew up because Nothing, Cloud9 Nothing, was on there saying that Stewie2K was calling default from his old team on Mirage. And apparently Cloud9 never had defaults for this map.
And I believe that.
And Cloud9 just wrecked face. Using Stewie2K as the IGL, and Stewie2K was using strats from his last team. You know, the one that he like overslept and decided not to show up for a tournament on.
On Splice. That was Splice that he did that too. So
Yeah.
You know, I think it's still a little too early to say if it was a success or not. I mean, we did say when they picked him up, what, in January?
We said it was going to be 6 months.
Six
before
months
it got serious,
before you
yeah.
can really like this was not supposed to be a quick turnaround. The fact that they won iBuyPower, qualified for MLG, I think this will be a really good measuring stick to see if they can get out of group. Because Cloud9 has always had an issue of not making it out of group play. Like, always. It's just they get to the tournament, and then it's miserable failure against some team they were supposed to beat. At least in this case, looking at the team names, you wouldn't be embarrassed losing by them. But this rate in their play, losing to Virtus Pro would be a little bit embarrassing.
Yeah, that would be... Virtus Pro has the opportunity to upset everybody because they've been so awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything from Virtus Pro is going to be an upset because they've been playing so poor. Eventually, they have to turn it around. Like, no one that used to be playing at the level that the Virtus plow will be turned on again. It's just a matter of when. And I think it's this major, which is why I bought a sticker for them. So don't let me down. I think Virtus Pro is going to turn it around. Nonetheless, they're my upset pick. Cloud9, homering all the way.
Pick. Gotcha.
Homer pick. So Group D or Group C, depending on which website you pulled these from. Mine was The Score. So thank you if you screwed this up.
Not the most solid coverage.
You know, they pay for a lot of sponsorship, and you think they fact check. They definitely don't spell check. But nonetheless, at least the teams are correct. So whatever group this is, Team Envious, Astralis, CLG, and Gambit Gaming. Astralis is going to take the group. Again, Envious has been playing so poorly lately. Like, so starting from February in the Barcelona Expo where they ended fifth, then at the Intel Extreme Masters, they ended up getting 11th, I believe, 11th or 12th. And then at the Counterpit League season, just this last weekend, they got, I believe it was fifth place, maybe.
Do you think them defending the last major title is going to play into their success or failure at all? I mean, obviously they've been struggling. Do you think they can turn it back on for another major?
I honestly don't think they ever really turn. It's just a down period.
Yeah.
You know, teams go in it. Now, knowing esports and CSGO, there's going to be a roster move here in about a week before the tournament anyways, so we'll just wait till after we put up the show up tomorrow to hear about the roster move.
Always happens.
But there's like talks, like Thorin brought up how they might not be the number one French team anymore. So is he saying G2 is?
Like, I mean, that's the only other major French team.
Okay, but like, so you have three bad tournaments. And we're willing just
to... Well, that's how fickle esports is in
general,
We're willing
to blow it up. Like, we're just... It's out the window. Envious is dead. Kenny S is dead. Blow up the team. It's no good. I don't think so. I think it's a down period. I think it's going to be fine. I think Astralis will take it. And I'm going to pick Envious for the second one.
I had Astralis, who's been showing really strong as of late. A great article was just released. Kerrigan talking about how, actually, funny enough, the article was released on Splice's website about how Astralis wants a winning a major would be fantastic, which, duh. Anyway, it was about about Kerrigan's history in Counter-Strike and wanting to win the major. I did take Envious as well as getting out of the group. My upset, though, was CLG actually eliminating Envious, because I feel like with Envious's recent performances that CLG, for whatever reason, might have a chance to overtake them in group play.
If I had to pick an upset, I would pick Gambit Gaming, because the last couple times I've watched their play, I'm not going to lie, I'm not as familiar with Gambit Gaming other than they're like the UK hopes and dreams.
Right.
That's really all I know from them. But their play has impressed me enough to where through the qualifiers and everything else, they just seem really solid and they have that upset potential to where, like you said, if Envious
keeps stumbling.
If they can't pick it up, if they're over... To me, Envious is a team that's overthinking things right now, and they just need to slow it down, and maybe this week before... The tournament is going to help.
I don't know if it's a reflection on Envious's ability or CLG and Gambit's lack of ability that we both think the only way they're going to get upset somebody is if Envious decides to just suck for the tournament.
Yeah.
Continue.
And even Envious on a bad day, I think, is better than CLG and Gambit. I'm just saying, again, this is, like you said, it's group play. So it's more so if other teams are helping out, like CLG could very well be out of the group, where Gambit is poised to take it, and all they have to do is hopefully have CLG beat Envious and Envious not get a win. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can work out like that, to where the two bottom teams are playing and Gambit can, you know, just like Splice, kind of sneak by everyone and wow, they qualified. Nonetheless, my picks are Astralis, Envious, with Gambit being the upset. Overall, though, tournament predictions?
That's easy, though.
Fnatic?
Yeah.
Fnatic, like we said, Fnatic has shown me zero to ever question them. You have to pick Fnatic until they give you a reason otherwise.
I think it's going to be a rematch of Katowice with Fnatic beating Luminosity. It is a best of three, isn't it? I believe the final is best of five.
I wish we knew.
I think it's...
I wish there was something in this world that we could look that up on, but I just don't believe there is.
MLG doesn't like to update their website, so...
No, you know. They do a good community job. It's just their website game that needs a little bit of upping. I think Fnatic will definitely win. Give me Na'Vi, though. I pick Fnatic and Na'Vi. If the brackets play out that way, I can see Fnatic and Na'Vi. Unfortunately, I don't see Astralis doing it. But that's just because their stigma of TSM and just never being able to make it.
What was it? Lifetime semifinalist or something like that?
Yeah. It's just, they get so close and yet so far every time. But that's okay because they're a player-owned organization making bank anyways.
Right.
So that's our roundup of MLG Columbus Major that's happening in 2 weeks, whatever the official dates are, March something through April 1st, something.
March 29th. Yeah, March 29th through April 3rd.
All right, there you go. All I know is that our plane leaves Thursday and we come home on Sunday. So yep. As long as I know those two dates, we should be in good shape. But we will definitely, we might talk about this about a little bit more next episode. And then for sure afterwards. I mean, we might just have an episode solely for it, depending on how much content we get from it. So that is it. That's it for MLG. I don't know what you want from me. Let us know what you think of our predictions on our Twitter, at The Center Ring. I'm at Pirate Mushroom. Brandon's at Brand Any New, ININEW.
I'm still going to make it longer.
Your Twitter thing?
Yeah.
Can't get any more long than Pirate Mushroom. I tried shortening that. It really just doesn't work out. So let's move on then. Let's wrap this up with the micro. Let's start it off, Brandon. You go first. What do you have for us on the micro?
I want to get into the big nitty gritty in the Heroes of the Storm community,
which I feel is making a pretty decent push for, you know, trying to be MOBA. I don't know
if I'm just paying more attention to it because I've been playing it more often. I really enjoy the game.
Yeah, I think Blizzard's doing a really good job at, they are throwing out updates every Tuesday when they do their weekly update is like an actual big update and balancing and.
Well, yeah, and their dev team is very active on Twitter and responds to a lot of people and, everybody kind of, I don't know, it feels very community driven. I like it. Anyway, there's been some crazy drama going on, with the team King of Blades, They're Heroes of the Storm team who recently qualified for the Heroes NA Spring split that leads to the World Championship for Heroes of the Storm. Has left the team because of what they said is a hostile environment created by the owner. I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly. Delilio, I think is what it is. Anyway, they say that they're constantly being harassed, belittled, threatening text messages, phone calls. They can't concentrate on practice, blah, blah, blah. So they decide to leave. Or they're deciding to leave. They're told they need to sign a player contract that gives them $900 a year salary. A year.
900, like 900 a year?
A year. Only 4% of their tournament winnings and only 5% of their stream revenue.
That's what the players get?
That would be what the players earned as part of their contract.
And how does this the owner even like think that's ever well, like did well, anyone sign it?
One of them signed it. Why you would ever sign that contract is beyond me, but
like,
yes,
I
one
know
of them
I always
signed
say,
it.
I always say like, "Hey man, it's professional gaming. I will like you could pay me lunch and I would go and travel for you just to play games." But then you see a contract like that and like, no, it's not worth it. So whoever signed that's an idiot and just didn't, there's no way that they actually read it and thought,
worth it. It
this
honestly
is my dream.
Would have been, it honestly could have been, they saw a professional gaming contract and just signed it. Long story short, this team, to get to these tournaments that they were playing in, they were paying out-of-pocket expenses, expecting to be reimbursed by the team once money came in, blah, blah, blah. It got to the point where the team was so frustrated that they stopped playing for King of Blades, and now the owner is filing a lawsuit against the team, citing extortion and larceny. Which is really interesting considering the fact that they were like never really paid anything. I don't know like
so
what
he,
money they're
he
stealing.
Thinks he like
he thinks
they
he was
are,
extorted on, okay. Yeah. So he is suing his former team.
The guy who said I'll pay you 4% of what you win and earn.
Yeah.
Thinks you're stealing money from him.
Yeah.
All right. And I know even the popular Reddit user Gamer's Attorney. He even commented saying on it, like, yes, he's working with the team on it. And this own, like, he's dealt with a lot of interesting owners. And this guy is, like, the worst.
He did make a mistake. I mean, we're trying to get him on the show for comments and an interview just in general. But he made the mistake of tweeting out that this was the worst owner that he has ever dealt with in, like, the history of esports. And, of course, people found it. Or not found it, but people knew what it was and have now saved it. So he later deleted the tweet, I guess, thinking maybe that probably wasn't the best thing to do for your
talk
client.
Smack about it. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just.
Nonetheless, though, he did say it. Like, that is saying something.
If
a lawyer is willing to tweet that, then you know he's probably the worst owner.
Yeah. So I don't know. This is something that hasn't been hashed out completely. There will be more news on it, I'm sure. I'm sad that it still happens, but it's not surprising that it still happens in esports. I don't know.
It will always happen because it's almost like actors or actresses that move to Hollywood or, you know, they get that they get those sleazeball agents and then, you know, next thing you know, you're
Well, it's people
sucking,
that have never
sucking D for rent.
Had never read a contract in their life.
We're going to just have e-sport porno stars because that's all they somehow...
Like, they have to pay the bills.
Yeah, I thought this was CSGO. What happened?
What's the couch for?
Why is there a camera there? It's a web camera. Don't worry about it.
Oh, that just took an awkward turn.
Took a dark turn.
Anyway, lots of drama.
Get home later tonight and be like, is that Kenny S? Is that Kenny S?
He looks familiar.
It's Twitch, babe. It's Twitch. So, anyways, getting past that image that I'll never get out of my head. It will never end because you will always get these small organizations that, like you said, they see professional esports contract, don't care, sign it. I'm 17, doesn't matter. I've made it to the big leagues, and you are just getting
screwed. I'm actually,
I mean, and you know, this was in it doesn't happen. I bet you, I mean, there's a lot of people who play professional sports, so I'm sure someone's getting screwed out of something.
Yeah.
But when professional sports, I think, was a newer thing, this happened there too. I mean, you did hear about players where their agents or their parents would be their agents and sign these deals with them, where it's basically they have a loophole where they can take all the players' money somehow.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it even happens. It's just people taking advantage of people who aren't aware. That's the bottom line, and that's always going to happen, no matter how, if anything, the more popular esports get, the more you're going to see this until there starts being an actual system to filter these type of teams in. But how are you going to do that in a publicly ran thing where anybody with money can basically sponsor a team when it's all done through sponsors?
It's just going to have to get so expensive that a sleazeball that wants to pay the players $900 a year can't.
It's going to have like a real contract and real lawyers and everything involved to do it. I agree. Speaking of Heroes of the Storm, Heroes of the Dorm was last week, or at least part of it was. My alma mater, North Texas, they were eliminated.
All right.
They put up the good fight, but, you know, we suck at football. We suck at video games. Thank God we're in art school. So, number one behavior analysis program, though. What's up? The round of 16 and 18 is this upcoming weekend, which is actually, I'm not going to lie, really entertaining. Something about
very entertaining.
The colleges, it's just, you know, gets you jacked. I watched UNT play, and it was awesome. Like, it almost makes me wish, like, with regular esports, I hope for the day where, like, cities gets teams.
So yeah, so you have a local team to root for,
So that way you have, like, you know, the Dallas,
that's what I was watching,
whatever.
I was watching the UT Dallas Heroes of the Dorm game, and I think I sent you a text. It's like, UT Dallas won, and then they end up losing the best of three, and I was like, oh, man,
but, like,
sucks.
It does. Like, to have a city representing or a school represented, it really does. It gets, I don't know, like, I love my NA teams and Cloud9 and Liquid, and, I watch them, and I get really excited, but then when you realize when it's something personal, like a school or a city, it does take it to that next level. Other than that, the production value on Heroes of the Dorm was on point.
Yeah, the desk does a really good job.
The desk, the little factoids that they throw up there to let you know, like, hey, did you know, Sylvanas has been picked so many times and the winning percentage is this. And they really, like, if you didn't really know it, they did a really good job.
Yeah.
But then again, that's what happens when it's also on ESPN3. So you can't like just throw up no names up there and hope for it does well. What else do you have for the micro?
I don't know if you remember, but we discussed probably, it's probably like 5 episodes ago. Team Ember released a Medium statement probably five or six weeks ago, announcing their salaries for their LCS Challenger team.
I think I remember this, but isn't like team, they're not like a big team or anything.
No, they were a Challenger team, so they were trying to qualify for the LCS, and they were being paid an astronomical amount of money. Like, people were like, you're paying your Challenger team more than
right, like
LCS teams get
respectable,
paid.
Respectable, but dumb.
Yeah. Well, they've now folded. All the investors that were supplying that money have pulled out because their team was unable to qualify for the LCS split. They now have one contract. They released all but one player. And I don't know. The only contract they have left is for the player called Contracts.
Okay.
I kid you not.
I like it. It's almost like an inside joke.
So now they are trying to sell his contract. They're trying to have someone buy him out and their Challenger spot because the team is essentially just done.
So this is the issue and the age old, you know, theory of, if you pay someone enough money, will they bring themselves to the next level, or, you know, will you get the same performance? Clearly not. And
well, it sucks that they only got, I mean, they only got one attempt. Now, they were paying way too much money to try and run this for like 2 years. But well, you would have liked to see if they could have, you know.
And I didn't have this for the micro because I don't think it's an esport. I think just because there's a competition and there's money involved doesn't necessarily make it an esport. Some people do. That's fine. But I don't think it is. But the new Ark survival arena.
Right.
Whatever that one's called. Ark was like a survival dinosaur game, and now they have like a second one for it where it's like basically like the Hunger Games, you know, like any other survival game, battle royale style of a game. And they're doing it to where it's $50,000 tournament every month. And this is for a game that is in early access, where the Big Brother game of Ark was still in early access. So now they have a spin-off game of an early access game in early access doing monthly $50,000 tournaments.
You know, it's frustrating.
Like,
about
is this
that,
not is
like,
Idiocracy?
That early access money that's probably paying for that was supposed to go to finishing the game.
And again, this is not esports. A lot of people are kind of upset about that.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of like, so I guess
I almost bought it. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Now.
No, because you know that's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to get worked on nearly as much as it should have been. Same thing though, you know, just because they're throwing money there doesn't mean it's going to be anything. And I want to kind of save this. We can package it for maybe next week. I do want to kind of go on a mini rant on early access and beta games having professional teams and tournaments
looking right at you, Overwatch.
Right at you. Because it drives me insane that you have a private closed beta that's supposed to be random, and you have professional teams and tournaments and leagues. It's like, that's so dumb. Like I said, we can package it because maybe I want to do a little bit more research.
We're going to table that for next week.
But it's Idiocracy that I think it. Maybe people will disagree with me, and I'm sure they do, but I think it's dumb. Other thing I have for here for the micro real quick, the Halo World Championship was last weekend. This was that $1 million one. It was the big one here. CLG ended up beating Team Allegiance in it. They ended up taking top dog there. That's, you know, cool stuff there for Halo. Halo though did announce that they're partnering with ESL and having a Halo Pro League. So I'm assuming it's going to be very similar to the CSGO Pro League and every other Pro League. But now Halo is becoming more of a regular thing.
That is,
again,
it's fun to watch. I do enjoy watching
the nostalgia
it.
And everything there is for me. Like I said, if you want to, you can buy an Xbox One.
Man,
I'm not I will have to retrain my thumbs because after
I haven't played a console shooter and I can't remember how long.
I can't either. The second it hits, I wish it would go to PC just to see what the life would be on it.
I would probably buy it on PC again.
Oh, I would buy it and play it.
I just enjoyed the people that played Halo on PC were always awful.
They did not understand the concept of leading shots at all. But good for Halo for making it back in there. Like I said, CLG defeated Team Allegiance for the first Halo World Championship, and they have a Pro League now, which is basically going to be the feeder for the world championship. So I think they have definitely a good thing now to where people can follow it all season long and actually see an end to it. So yeah. I like that concept there. Do you have anything else for the micro?
That's it. Let's wrap it up.
Awesome. Good show. Good show, everyone. I really appreciate the effort. The effort in listening, the effort in sticking around. Even if you didn't and just skipped around, I appreciate you just the same. Because that is it, for TCR, the Center Ring, episode 24 is now all said and done. We packaged it, We will be back next week. We will discuss Lord knows what. Maybe a little bit more CSGO major, maybe, if news breaks. Maybe we'll have a guest. Maybe we'll discuss early access games, including beta, alpha, however you want to do it, having a professional scene to it. Let me know what you think.
If you want to talk to us about that, you can find us on Twitter.
Twitter, at The Center Ring, at Pirate Mushroom, at Brand Any New. Our website, tcr.gg. That will have this episode and all other old episodes. It will also have our YouTube.
We'll have our Twitter.
It will have our Twitter.
Our not used Twitch account.
Our not used Twitch, but follow it for, you know, the day we decide to set up the studio and stream whatever streamers do. Maybe get that Overwatch beta access going, you know?
And the hat and like
and the hat totally and the backpack random. And the hoodie and completely random. Completely random. But we're not salty about that at all. No, not at all. Again, TCR episode 24 is in the books. We will be back next week for episode 25. I hope you join us. I know you will, and I know you'll enjoy it just the same, because I promise it will be the best episode ever. Again, thank you so much, and we will see you next time.